This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at an employees seminar held on March 18, 2026 in Millersburg, Ohio.
Good morning, everybody. It is good to see the sea of faces, and it's been a good morning already, had a lot of food for thought. So as we turn, we think about mastering our moments for God's glory. I want to look at this in three different aspects, and why I always like to think about why as we look at a subject, because if we don't understand the why, we'll probably get the what wrong. So why is it important? Why is it important that we clock in on time every morning? Why is it important that we track every minute of the day? Why is it important that we don't waste time on idle talk, standing around if we're on the clock? The second one is punctuality, our gift of respect to others. When I think about punctuality, with being a minister, I don't go to the Adman singing a lot. That's our hymn singing practice where the brethren get together. But occasionally I'm there, or if it's at our house, and everybody knows that it starts at 7 o'clock. But you know what everybody else knows? It actually may start at 7:15 or 7:20 or just kind of whenever we decide to start. So if we have parent-teachers meeting and it starts at 6 o'clock, what time are we going to be there? If we know it starts at 6 o'clock, and that's when it starts, we're going to be there. But if we know that it starts at kind of whenever everybody shows up, and then it's probably going to start at 6:15. So punctuality, our gift of respect to others. The third, distractions, our hindrance to productivity. Things that keep us from focusing on the job at hand. So those are the three points that I'd like to touch as we go through here. So why? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We can have the most profitable business. We can be the most efficient employee. If we are not focused on bringing honor and glory to God, it's all in vain. Except the Lord build the house. Drink deeply from the well of God's word. It is where we draw from. It is where our inspiration comes from. It is our guiding principle. It needs to be our foundation. It allows us to think like God thinks as we go through life. How would Jesus handle this situation? How would he respond? Drink deeply from God's well. And you know what? There's mornings that we may not feel like it. Let's still do it. Let's still do it. We go through slumps in life. We go through ups and downs. Let's do it. Drink deeply from the well of God's word. Peace. As we go through life, if we want to master our moments for God's glory, it is important that we are at peace with ourselves. It is important that we are at peace with God. It is important that we are at peace with our fellow man, with our coworker, with our family. You know why? Because if there's conflict, it is going to undermine our thinking. It is going to undermine our ingenuity. It's constantly on our mind. There's a reason that Jesus said. He said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift before the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled with thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Take care of it. Let's just take care of it so that we can get back. We can let that inspiration from God. It hinders us if we are not at peace with God, with ourselves, with our fellow man. The next point I'd like to think about is you shall be my witness. Jesus said, you shall be my witness unto both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth. This is becoming one of my favorite verses. Why did Jesus, it's the commission that he gave his disciples before he left. Let's put us there on that hill outside of Jerusalem. We are one of those 12 people. There's almost 500 people in this room. Let's narrow that down to 12 people. We have just seen Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, go back to heaven. It is up to us 12 to spread the gospel. Would we live life differently if we are only one of 12? That commission has gone out to all of us. And the other thing that I like about this is the way that Jesus gave it. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I think that the order of importance is right. I think the order that he gave this is very important that we recognize this. Jerusalem at that point was Jesus' home base for his ministry. Judea at that point was the known Christian nation. Samaria was the neighboring Gentile nation, and then into the uttermost parts of the earth. As we go through life, are we a witness in our home? Our witness in our home is the most important part. If we cannot get that right, the rest of it will not matter. I'm not saying it won't matter, but it will dim the light on the remainder. And if we think about homes that are being a witness for Christ, as we go through life and we have those homes filled with Christ's love and his guiding principles, those will overflow out into the church. And as they overflow out into the church, our church is just as strong as our people are. And that church can then be a shining light out into the neighboring Gentile nation. And we think about today, we're talking about workplace and as we go through life, I like to think about the shoe leather gospel. How we treat an irate customer on the phone, how we respond, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Are we living life? How does the world perceive it? We may be the only Bible that somebody reads. But again, it has to start at home. Then we think about reverberating out to the uttermost parts of the earth. We don't know. We don't know who's on the other end of the phone. We don't know what their life is, what they're going through in life. Just a smile. Think about if you're on a construction crew and you go out every morning and you may stop in at a gas station. Just a smile and a good morning to the attendant behind the table. We don't know what they're going through life. Now imagine that you smile to them and you give them a hearty good morning and you cheer up their day. How many other people are they going to come into contact with? It's the ripple effect. It can reverberate out to the uttermost parts of the earth. There's two things that come to my mind when I think about reverberating out to the uttermost parts of the earth. And many of us may never be in a monumental moment like this. We all know the story of Dirk Willems. Just a couple weeks ago, we were out here at the Amish and Mennonite Heritage Center, Behalt, and we went through and they explained the story of Dirk Willems. Every person that goes through there will have the opportunity of hearing the forgiveness, and he went back and he pulled his pursuer out of the water. Dirk Willems, I don't think, chose to make that decision when he was standing at the shore of indecision. It will lead up to the small incremental choices that we make through life. At some point, we may get to that monumental decision. We don't know, but what we choose, if we choose to forgive our brother that may have said something or may have wronged us unintentionally, we are making those choices as we go through life. The other thing, the other moment that I think about, an incident that reverberated to the uttermost parts of the earth, is the nickel mines, Pennsylvania. When those men chose to go down the road and extend forgiveness, it reverberated to the uttermost parts of the earth. I don't know, but I imagine it was probably not an easy decision. I have a book at home that was written by Marie Roberts, the mother of the shooter. The picture that she painted as she looked out through her living room window,
Her father stepped out over the porch. He went out the driveway where the gravel met the pavement.
Four men of the community met.
She could not hear what was being said, but she could observe what happened. That is what the world saw, and that reverberated to the uttermost parts of the earth. The embrace, the forgiveness, the community coming together in love, sharing each other's burdens. It reverberates to the uttermost parts of the earth. But again, it starts in our home. It starts in our home. You shall be my witness. We have time to do what is important. Today, we have time and money to do what is important to us. I don't have time to go hunting. There's many people in here that probably have time to go hunting. But I have time to do other things that you probably say you don't have time to do. We all have time to do what is important to us. We do. It's just a matter of importance. The way that we live our life, every second, every minute, every hour. Seconds lead to minutes, minutes lead to hours, hours lead to days, days lead to weeks, weeks into months, months into years, and eventually those years will accumulate and it will be our lifetime. So what we do every waking minute of our day makes a difference. It makes a difference. We have time to do what is important. When I think about this, we've all heard the analogy where the professor got up in front of the school and he had a jar of rocks, or he had a jar and he filled it with large rocks. And then he asked the students, can we get anything more in here? The first response was, we can't. He put some small pebbles. It fit into the smaller gaps. And then he put some sand in it. In the end, it looked like it was completely full. Can we get anything else in here? He ended up putting some more water in there. As we go through life, let's make sure that we are scheduling the most important things in our life. Do we have time for personal devotions? Do we have time for family time? Do I have time for me and my spouse to sit down and enjoy time together, discuss the day, listen to each other, just be there? If it's important to us, we will have time. If it's important to us, we will have time. Do we have time to go visit a neighbor, to help somebody that's in need? We all have things that we're involved with. Is it church? Is it community? Other functions? Do we have time? Are we building up God's kingdom with that extra time? Or are we using it for self-gratification and pleasure? The last item here that I'd like to talk about is the magic bank account. When we think about time, for all of us, let's just imagine that we would we get a phone call. You know, many of us, we get calls. There's all kinds of people out there wanting to give us money. You've just been chosen that, you know, you've been pre-approved for a $500,000 loan, XYZ. We get it all the time. But let's imagine that we wake up one morning and we get this call and we say $86,400 is going to be deposited into your account and it's up to you what you want to do with it. And the caller further says every morning you're going to get $86,400 into your bank account and it's up to you what you want to do with it for the rest of your life. But you know, tonight when you lay your head on the pillow, that bank account is going to be emptied. But tomorrow morning it's going to be filled up again. The magic bank account. Where does our mind go? What are we thinking? I'm going to say this. The first two things that came through your mind, if you want to do a heart check, that's probably where your heart is. What would we do with that $86,400? Let's do a heart check. But I want to take this a little further. All of us, we are getting 86,400 seconds in a day. 60 seconds in a minute. 60 minutes in an hour. 24 hours in a day. You do the math. Every 24 hours, we are getting 86,400 seconds. And tonight, when I lay my head on the pillow, it's gone. I cannot save it for tomorrow. I cannot pile it up so that I have more of it tomorrow, even though all of us would want an hour or two extra. We can't. That's just life. It's reality. We all have 24 hours. It's up to me what I'm going to do with it. How am I going to use it? We all have sleep, eat, and work. What else do we do with it? We heard about we have more leisure time. We have more extra than we probably had in generations before us. I like this saying, if we say yes to one thing, we are saying no to something else. If I say yes to one thing, we are saying no to something else. There's a difference between busy and productivity. Everybody in here, we like to say we're busy. Are we busy or are we productive? I just asked myself that question. Punctuality, our gift of respect to others. Meeting culture, production employees. When I think about meeting culture, I talked earlier a little bit about being punctual if there's a meeting scheduled. Meeting culture for most businesses is the culture that in the meeting and how the meeting is conducted usually is how the whole business is conducted. So if I know a meeting's at 10 o'clock and I'm the one that's facilitating the meeting and I show up at 10:02, then I am sending a message that it's okay to be late. It's okay to be slothful. It's okay to be a waster. But if I say there's a meeting at 10 o'clock, then I better be there and conduct that meeting, and I expect everybody else to be there as well. I switched jobs, and there was a meeting called, and a lot of our meetings were over conference call because we were had offices in different states. And one of the first meetings that I was attended, we were calling into a conference call, and the meeting was scheduled at 10 o'clock. I called in at 10:01. The meeting was underway. I was late. And the message was given that we start on time. We were punctual. If we start 5 minutes late, or we sit around and we talk about deer stories or things like that, and those have their time. 4 people, 5 people, 10 people in a meeting, 5 minutes, multiply that times how many meetings you have in a day. You think about your hourly rate in your company. You start doing the math, and you do that times 52 weeks out of the year. It adds up. That's not the only thing that it adds up. It's just the passion and the lost productivity that happens if that culture is there. But if you're punctual and you're there and you expect your employees to be there and you are engaged, that culture will go out into the workplace. It will go out into the shop. That is where the culture starts. And it starts with business owners. It starts with leaders, punctuality. Our son, he works for a construction crew, and he knows pretty much on the dot when the driver shows up. And you know what? That is very handy for all of us. He knows what time he has to be ready, his shoe on his feet. And the driver can come in the driveway, and he's not expecting to wait 5 minutes until he's ready. But if the driver shows up at, 10 after 6 one morning and 5 till 6 the other morning, and it's kind of that nip and tug for everybody. It's just being respectful to each other if we're punctual, and it allows us to be a lot more functional. Time tracking. Not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. I just came across this morning. Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. None of us would think that we want to be a great waster, but it's important that we track our time properly. I don't think, nobody gets up in the morning and thinks I'm going to be a time waster. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to be lazy, but it's the culture and it can be habitual, it can be a habit as we go through life. I'm going to go unpack this a little bit. I also do some bookkeeping, so I enjoy numbers. And there's for a lot of you production employees, this probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I'll walk through it a little bit of what it can be if we're not being punctual and we're not being on our time. So we all know that sales, the money that's coming in, is what pays everybody. If we don't have sales, if we don't sell items, and we don't provide services, there's no money coming in, then we can't get paid, and the other items can't be paid as well. So sales comes in. We look at the three silos. First, we have material. So if you're building a piece of furniture, the first thing that needs to get paid is the wood, the drawer boxes, the slides, the screws, things like that. Production labor. That's the production guy's wage. It's going to be the taxes, the benefits that come out with that. Then it's the production overhead. And as you can see, kind of that line slims as we go on further down the line because we're putting money in each coffer there. Production overhead. That's the shop. the vehicle that takes you out to the job, the tools, the maintenance, the utilities. Out of that, we have what we call the gross profits. Out of the gross profits, we have SG&A, sales, general, administrative, anything that's sales related, trade shows, catalogs, advertising, salesmen. And then we have the office expenses, office equipment, phone bills, office wages. When that's all paid, we have what we call net profits. That's the money that's left over from the sales that funnel in until all those coffers are paid for, and those are the net profits. Now, I want us to all imagine that those net profits, that's what's left over at the end of the day. We have a safe in the front office, and that's where the money goes. That safe in the front office is going to be used to pay to charity. It's going to be used for profit sharing. It's going to be used for future growth, for new equipment. That's we're using that money for future or for other important items. Now, the two with the circle around is the ones I'd like to focus on. So if we're going to work, all those, the materials have been calculated, the production overhead, we know what it's going to cost to run the diesel, we know what the shop cost us, we know what the office expenses are, we know what the labor that we calculated in. If I come in and I clock in 5 minutes late, or I stand around and talk, I'm gonna go over my hours for the job that was allotted. I'm literally taking money out of that front office safe and wasting it. The flip side is, if I come in and I'm passionate about my job and I enjoy what I'm doing and I cut down the hours, or I do it in a shorter time, or I help out where needed in other areas, then you are helping add to that front office safe. You're part of the team. That's the important part as we go through production. We think about being time. We don't want to be time wasters. Nobody wakes up in the morning and wants to be a time waster. Nobody does. We all want to add to that front office safe. We all want to do that. Distractions. Hindrance to productivity. I like creating lists, and I like the joy of checking the lists off. So when we think about creating the list, many of you may be familiar with the Eisenhower Matrix. When I think about making a list, every morning, I don't get it done every morning, but I like to make it a goal of kind of looking over my day and making a list. This is something that goes with me pretty much the time I wake up in the morning to the time I lay my head on the pillow. Sometimes it's on my nightstand next to me, and you'll find anything in here. If you're, let's say you're a minister and you're out sanding a piece of furniture, jot a message, something that comes through your mind. Maybe you have responsibilities and you think of something that I have to do. Just jot it down. It allows you to continue to focus on the job at hand. Last night we had parent-teachers meeting, and on the board there was they had a date that was the last school day and the picnic day that is scheduled. What happens if I look at that and I'm like, I want to try and remember that when I get home? If I write it in here, I can forget about it. I don't have to remember it. In my mind, I can continue to stay focused on the job at hand. But then the important thing is, at the end of the day or the first thing next morning, I'll page through here and I'll put these in different slots. I'll put it in different slots wherever it belongs. And that's why I like the Eisenhower Matrix, is if it's urgent and important, then you do it. It's tasked with deadlines and consequences. You schedule it in. It has to be done now, and you are the only person that can do it. If it's not urgent but it's important, then you schedule it out somewhere down the road. You write it down in a calendar, however your schedule system looks. If it's not important but it's urgent, then you delegate it. Get somebody else to do it. Somebody else that can do it for you. But it's important. It needs to be done now. If it's not urgent and it's not important, delete it. Don't get muddled in with having it jumbled on all kinds of lists, and then you create the list, then you copy what you didn't do, and you kind of copy it. It just creates a lot of, get rid of it. Now, there are things like if you're a visionary and you want to do things down the road, where you can make a list somewhere else off to the side, where you just want to jot it down where someday in the future we'll come back and take a look at it. Take care of your list. Do it. Organize it so that you can come back and you can focus on the job at hand. So when I think about mornings, I mentioned the Eisenhower matrix. I go through my notebook and I trot it down in specific things. Check emails and listen to phone messages. I'll get into emails a little deeper a little later, but this is a good time to just review your email list. Is there anything on there from yesterday that I need to take care of today? Do I need to get it on my list? Do I need to take care of it? Listen to phone messages. And then bite the bullet and do the hard things first. Take care of it. How many times do we procrastinate? We push it off. I don't want to call that customer. I don't like this job. If you do that, you know what it does? It bogs you down the whole day long. Bite the bullet, do it, get it over with, and move on. And you have a clear mind to move on to the next step. Another goal that I like to do, and we all know these are goals, we don't all get it done, is stop early at the end of the day and clear your desk. Clear your workspace, whatever it is. How much more joyful it is to come in the morning when it's clean, you can be energized to get to work, than if you come in and it's dusty in the shop or we left the workplace and the tools are strewn around. It gives you that vibrance to come in clean. Another thing on the kind of the weekly schedule, something that we've done as a family, we don't get it done every week, but we try and make ourselves a goal of either Saturday morning or Monday morning, depending on the children's schedules, just get together for a 10 or 15 minutes and review the next week. We all have different schedules. We go out different directions. It allows us to, we can talk about what we have planned for Monday night or maybe Wednesday night, there's something going on, or the children's work schedules. It allows us to just communicate and integrate to just know where everybody's going, just a collaborative thing on a regular basis. It allows us to focus on the job at hand. I'm going to go through, this is a planner pad that I use, and there's many of you probably have different things, but as I unpack this, I like these because it gives us spots here on the top where you can write things in as we go through our list. I mentioned about the Eisenhower matrix. We can schedule things out down the road. And then as we go every day, if there's a specific thing, there's daily things to do, it funnels down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then it funnels all the way down to if there's meeting times, and it allows you to just funnel everything down and be able to focus on the job at hand. Unclutter. Get rid of the stuff. Move on. This is a place where, and this is also in your handout. I haven't found a place where you can call, but if you have somebody with online access, they can get it for you. Focus, a place for everything and everything in its place. I'm going to give you an example. This is how my desk looks too often. Which one would you prefer to come to work in the morning? Everything in its, a place for everything and everything in its place. Pretty much, there's a couple items that are missing on the second photo, but pretty much everything is there on the second one. But it's just, it allows you, get rid of the clutter, focus. Get rid of the clutter, focus on. Put everything in its spot. I used to work for a furniture manufacturer, and we'd have a workspace where we had multiple routers, and we knew what I could, I didn't even have to pull that router out and look. I subconsciously knew where it was. And for those of you, when you think about lean manufacturing and things like that, there's a lot of other things that come into gear. But everything, a place for everything and everything in its place. Consistent file structure. If you're an office employee, a consistent file structure, I always like to challenge myself, set it up so that a fifth grader can do it. Set it up so that a fifth grader can do it. And it's something that subconsciously happens. Then you can easily train in new employees. You can easily train in the next person. If you're the only person that can do it, then you're probably the only person that's going to be doing it. Set it up as an easy, consistent way. Checklists. I like to use checklists if it's something that you do on a weekly or a daily basis. Create yourself a checklist. And this is just an example. You can get as simple or as detailed as you want to. If it's on your schedule that every week that you are doing this specific task, and you can just pull out your checklist or go to a file in your computer, and it's something that do 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 do, It just helps you go right down through it, and you don't have to think every time that you do it. I like to do this on something that I do on a monthly basis for sure. I do bookkeeping for different clients, and we do like a month-end close. So it's monthly is a little further out, so you don't remember every time every single step of it. So you just write it down so that you can just pull it out, and you can do it in maybe 30 minutes, whereas if you don't do it, it may take you 2 hours because every time you have to kind of think through it. So create checklists. These are just a couple examples of and the other thing, like our daughter helps in the bookkeeping, so I've created checklists for her in some different steps. Automate tasks. For those of you that use Microsoft Excel, embed macros. Use macros on things that can be done on a regular basis. Embed links into Excel. Here's a little example. This is an Excel file that I take export out of QuickBooks, and in about 5 seconds, I can have these reports. So going from this jumbled list, yes, it takes some time to set it up and get it all acclimated, but create PDF reports. If it's something that you do on a regular basis, automate it. The technology is there to use it, so let's use it. The other thing is embedding links. So here's an example of a CRM, a customer relationship management database. And there's, I'm sure you have production schedules and things like that where you have file structures in your computer, and every job has a file folder. And in that file folder, there's specific job details. If you're a production guy and you're looking at that schedule, embed a link in there where all you have to do is click on that link, boom, that job folder's open. If you're a salesperson and you have call notes, then boom, click on that link and it's there. And that's something that I like to do. If I'm at my desk, or even if I have a notepad, if I'm at my desk and I'm on the phone, it is rarely that I'm not typing in notes. And don't go back and try and summarize all those notes, but make it as simple as you can and then save them. And then if you have a consistent file structure like I talked earlier, you know where to go back and find those notes. Just type it in. If you're a salesperson or whatever, and I know this may not apply to all of you, but if you're a salesperson and you're talking to a customer about a job, there's so many things that can be lost in the detail as we go back. And if you can go back and look at your notes, it just saves you a lot of time. So take as much notes as you can, but don't get bogged down in trying to get it all perfect. Just make enough notes so that you know what it means. You may have to go back and alter some small details after the phone call, but don't try and compile it and compose it like you're sending it into a publication. Just make enough notes that you know what you're talking about. Color coding. That's another thing that I like to do. As this is an example of an organizer on our office wall. So you see the color coding. Those are the different bookkeeping clients that we have or different projects that are going on. When I was in the furniture industry, I know one of the blanket wrap manufacturer or the blanket wrapped furniture delivery guys talked about color coding their different stops. Using an orange blanket for this stop, using a pink blanket for this stop. There's a lot of options out there. So when you're driver backs up to the dock at stop number 2, he knows that everything that is an orange blanket gets off. Yeah, there's still some checking to do, but it's just, again, do it, set it up so that a fifth grader can do it. Simplify it. Keep it as simple as possible. Color coding is a good way to do that. It just saves you a lot of steps and a lot of standing around and looking at small handwriting. It's just like, boom, yeah, this is the one I want. You go to color coding. Multitasking. How many of us pride ourselves in thinking we are good multitaskers? There may be some special people out there, but most of us do best if we focus on one job at a time. We do our best work. So let's not kid ourselves and think that we are good multitaskers. Emails, text messages, phone calls. Make them your servant, not your master. Emails. Check them periodically. For most of us, if we're sitting at a desk and we have emails, we have a habit of doing our work here and having our emails open over here on the second screen. Don't do it. Unless you are a salesperson that needs to respond in the next 30 seconds, close your emails. The reason I say that is if you're doing a job at hand, there has been studies done, and if we're digging down into a job, and an email, or we get distracted by something, It takes us about 5 minutes to really get back into the groove again. So if we can close that email, check them in between jobs, check it in between periodically, whatever you need to do, but let's not have that habit of, boom, an email comes in and, oh, I want to go look at it. Well, then you're, okay, well, I want to take care of it. And there's, you know, it just leads you down into that rabbit hole. And the same way with text messages. You know, we all like to be important. That phone dings or it's like, oh, somebody wants me. I want to take care of it. Clutter. Get rid of the clutter. Focus on the job at hand. Focus on the job at hand. Voicemails, phone calls. Use voicemail gracefully. This is something that I learned from a gentleman that I used to work with, and not all of us have the liberty to do this. I know so if you're a salesperson or if you're a receptionist and you need to answer that phone call on the first ring, second ring, whatever your company policy is. But if you have the opportunity, I would challenge you about thinking using voicemail gracefully. And this is when I say using voicemail gracefully, this is what I like to do. I mean, I'll answer the phone occasionally through the day, but I like to put on my voicemail. For example, today's Wednesday. I would say, if I'm in the office, I would say something like this. This is Wednesday, March 18th. I am working in the office today, so please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. That way, I don't have to answer that phone call every time it rings and I can stay focused on the job at hand. I'm not saying if your company policy is not to do that, then you should violate that. But think about it if you can do that. If you're out on the construction job, can you do that with your voicemail? Or do you have to answer your phone every time? Just ask yourself that question. Because it draws away and it's going to take you 5 minutes to come back into the groove. But then when you do that, it's important that I said, I will call them back as soon as possible. You know, maybe if my job that I'm doing is 30 minutes later, then you listen to your voicemail and you respond accordingly. I have found that it helps us to stay focused on the job at hand. Use voicemail gracefully. So just in a summary of distractions, create the list. We all enjoy creating a list. I was listening to in the Family Farm Field Days one time, I was listening to a mom and she was talking about lists and how fun it is to check lists off. She actually said she likes to go home, if she's doing something and it's not on her list, she likes to write it on the list so she can check it off even after it's done. So we all enjoy checking it off the list. It's done, cross it off, move on. And again, focus, stay focused, get rid of the clutter. And emails, text message, let's make sure it is so tempting for them to be a distraction. Let's make them our servant, not our master. Avoiding burnout. For all of us, anybody who's passionate about what they do will probably all of us at some point or the other encounter a burnout. And if we go through it once, we know we can acknowledge it before it happens. So when we want to, just avoiding a burnout, plan for the unplanned. There may be, always leave some gaps in our schedule. If we fill ourselves full, there are things going to come up that are unplanned. We cannot be everything to everybody. Let's be realistic. When we think about we cannot be everything to everybody, a gentleman told me this one time. He was a leadership coach, and he was working with this one guy. And this guy was just coming in, and he was being everywhere all over the time. And he used this term to him. He said, you can't be Superman. We cannot be Superman. And so he was trying to work with this guy, and he starts unbuttoning his shirt. And he's like, whoa. And he continues to unbutton his shirt. And he opens his shirt, and here this guy is coming to work every morning with a Superman T-shirt underneath his shirt, to remind himself that I'm Superman. Now that makes me think of a friend of mine from Worcester. He said my son was a grade A student. He went to high school and then he went off to college in Southern California. And after the first couple weeks in college, he called home and he said, Dad, you know what? No matter how smart you think you are, there's always somebody smarter than me. And as we go through life, you know, we sometimes have this chip on our shoulder to think that we're kind of the best at this. So no matter how smart we think we are, there's always somebody out there that's smarter than us. If we're passionate, we're going to overpromise. So let's be realistic. We can't be everything to everybody. We overestimate what we can do in a day. How many of us, the end of every day, our list is all done? There's always something on the list, but we are surprised at, in a year from now, or if we reflect back a year ago, we're surprised how much farther we came. So we always overestimate in a day, underestimate what we can do in a year. So in a summary, if we want to master our moments for God's glory, let's find our why. Why are we doing it? Do the important things first. Punctuality, our gift of respect to others. Let's be honest stewards of our time. We have the bank account is filling up every second, every minute, every hour. It makes a difference. Let's schedule. We have time to do what is important. Distractions. Be intentional, be focused, and be realistic. Wishing you God's blessings as you continue on your journey.